Nobody else? All right, Revelation chapter 2. We don't want to squeeze it out of you. Revelation chapter 2. Again, it's not my delay. I know we started this series in 2015, and we're still only at chapter 2. We had a missionary last week, so I want to always make it special that we're not just begrudging getting in the book and studying it. Revelation 2 and verse 18. Amen? And the Bible says, "Unto the angel of the church at Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire." Again, this is the only time that God refers to himself as that, to this church. It's very important. He wants to be clear who they're getting the letter from. "Who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass." He tells him, "I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works." He repeats that again. "And the last," referring to the works, "to be more than the first." You've grown. You've not just been a servant, you've grown in your service and your works. And that's something that he wanted to praise him for. He said, "But notwithstanding," I like this, "I have a few things against thee." It's not enough for us when we come to... I think it's important for us to understand the concept of church. It isn't always to come and just have your ego stroked. It is a place where the Bible refers to the Word of God as a mirror. And if any of you have stood in a mirror any length of time, and you've lived any length of time, that mirror does not exhort you on a day-to-day basis. It may exhort the younger crowd, and I still can't figure this crowd out that wants to go in a bathroom. I don't carry my phone. Wants to go into a bathroom. I mean urinals behind them, and toilets, and stalls, and everything else, and they want to get those duck lips and put them up there. You do see, but very rarely will you see that woman when she gets past that one age, or that man, and many of them still try and do it. It's don't you want to go up to those people that do it when they get to a certain age and just say, "Ma'am, yeah, that's not working for you. Those things you're wearing, somebody should have warned you, told you about, or whatever." And the point I'm trying to make is that mirror is not always exhortation, it's examination. I'm telling you what, there's a bathroom that we redid downstairs for Gene that has, I mean, it's floodlights, LED floodlights down there. Then the one upstairs, I don't know if it's the bulbs my wife puts in them. In our bedroom, it's still the same amount of lights, but you can't see as much. And I'll go to that one downstairs. Some of you men in here might be able to identify this with me, and I mention this often. I'll go down there and I'll finish doing whatever, and I'll walk by that mirror and I'll just stop for a second. And I don't stop and say, "You are one sharp-looking guy." I stop and I'll see that one. When I asked the barber the other day, I said, "What is this?" I said, "I don't ever remember when I was 20, 22. I don't ever remember going, you know, you pulled those barber shops in the military. It was a tag, and then somebody'd call out the number 52, and you'd have that 52 in your hand. I never remember them taking the clippers and running them through my ears. Or them asking, "Hey, you want me to get your eyebrows while I'm at it?" Ladies, you are not the only ones that struggle. We men struggle as well. We don't carry compacts and that kind. Danny, it's funny now. It's going to happen. You're going to walk by that mirror, and that one you swore you got, you will be long enough to braid it. What is this stuff coming out of my ears? And then every once in a while I'll do this. This is crazy too. And I'll do this, and I'll go, "What in the world?" And then I've got two that have started. But you've seen them before, right? At Bob Evans, and they're 70, and they're sitting there, and somebody said, "Man, why don't they trim those ear hairs?" My point, the mirror doesn't lie. The mirror doesn't lie. Do you know why a lot of people don't like to go to a sound biblical preaching church? The mirror doesn't lie. Do you know why a lot of people don't like to wake up in the morning and open the Word of God and read it for what it's worth and sit there? Some people will. Some people have gotten in the habit, "I'll read it," but then all the while I'm reading it, and I try my best as a pastor not to do this, because a lot of times you want to feed the flock, which is among you, not for filthy lucre's sake, but of a ready mind, right? And you sit there and there's a lot of times, and I ask God often, God, I'm not here for my own flesh, because God wouldn't be doing this for me necessarily, for my own flesh to find something to say to somebody else. I'm here for me. Show me something for me in the Word of God. And so it's difficult sometimes when you open up the Word of God. Sometimes in churches, they just, you know, the crowd, oh my goodness, why doesn't he tell me something good? I'm going to tell you the good thing about reading the Bible is when you do what it says and you can sit there and go, and not only do what it says, but receive the promises from the principles that he says to follow. And we see that in children, don't we? Children love. We got some grandkids, man, that are snitches, and I tell them off. I told one in a 4-year earlier, snitches get stitches. I come out of my office, and there's three of them at the, what's that thing? Huh? The hand sanitizer right there. Three of them. They pull, they stop, look at me, dripping off their hands onto the floor. And I go, what are you doing? Ashlyn just backs off from the whole thing, still wiping, dripping down her elbows, and nothing. And you look on the table, and there's this big giant puddle of, and I said, oh, is that nothing? And then she starts saying, no, it wasn't me, dripping down her hands. No, it wasn't me, it was Ellie. And that's how we are in church, aren't we? We'll listen to a message, and ah, that's not for me, that's for somebody else. And the fact of the matter is the letters were written to the angel at the church, but they were for everybody in the church. So here's a lesson to be learned. Embrace it. Embrace it. Open that thing up. Look in the mirror. Don't forget what manner of man you are. Because here's the thing. It's not that he wants to focus on who you are and keep you there. He wants you to have the same view of you that he does, with the same anticipation. If we yield to him, he can fix it. I said this morning, there's not a situation in your life that can't be fixed as a father if you'll just search the book. All right? Notwithstanding, he says, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication. Isn't that nice? As demonic as Jezebel was, even God himself says, I gave her space to repent. And she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, not ears, it's a spiritual ear, not a physical ear. Sometimes we can sit in church with our physical ear and still not hear what the spiritual ear is trying to tell us. He that hath an ear to hear, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, capital S, saith unto the church. And I'll say this before we pray. The Spirit, if two or three are gathered together in my name, will always be speaking if the Word of God is open. It's just, are we listening? Many times, this is how I close out my invitation. If we'll stand to our feet, we'll pray. Someone's coming to the piano. Here's the invitation. If God has spoken to your heart, would you come down? Would you just yield to whatever he said to you? It's amazing to me how many years I've been in this church and how some people never. And I often say to myself, is the invitation not clear? Is there not a desire for that? Is there not a teaching of that? Every place in Scripture where Jesus expounded something in just his earthly ministry, his messages always ended with an invitation. So let's pray. See if we can get something today. Father, we ask you to help us. I plead. Take these letters. Speak to our hearts. Let our ears be capable of hearing tonight. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for the things that you're doing in the lives of people in our church. Thank you how good you are to us, how you've always been good, always will be. If we don't see it, it's our own fault. So speak to us as only you can, I plead tonight. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen. We move forward as always tonight. We may not be moving forward. We may not be moving as fast forward as some may like, but we are moving forward. And each time we study these letters, I try to personally, honestly, I try to do this. I try to personally find something or elaborate upon something that we all could benefit from. There is a, what's the word I'm looking for, Douglas? There's an application of the Word of God, obviously, but there's a... Huh? Yeah, I know. I'm thinking of a T-I-O-N word. There's a... Education? Interpretation. Thank you, Jacob. There's an interpretation of the Scripture. We know that these are the church ages. We understand that if we're a student of the Bible. We understand that these represent certain periods in time according to the church. We can go back. These were physical churches, that actually historical churches, but there's a spiritual application. We're not just reading some things and said, well, that, you know, if we read the times of George Washington or the times of, yes, that might have historically impacted us, but there is a modern day application to each of those. The Word of God is applicable through all periods of time. Yes, it was individually sent to this church, but we are to learn. There was far more than seven churches at this time. And God is wanting to show us and teach us certain things and certain expectations. And so I try to always personally find something or elaborate upon something in the text that we all can benefit from by application. We have as well seemed to have spent an extra amount of time in this letter. There have been missionaries that have come and different things like that, missions conference and so on, but we've spent an extra amount of time in this letter. It hasn't been intentional, but it makes me wonder if it was needed. I always wonder sometimes if a preacher preaches a message and he stays somewhere. You might hear him say this, let me park right here for a minute, because he's trying to maybe get something off his chest. Sometimes I just feel God leaving me somewhere because as His instrument, He's trying to use me to say something that's needed that I might not know. Sometimes I know it and I'll mention it, the text message group. You keep going back to that, Pastor. Yes, because it can devastate a church. I also saw when I was at VBS this week how we have pockets of people. I told somebody else, Pastor Engel had that problem. Pastor B.C. Jennings had that problem. The 13 preachers prior to me had that problem. Every church has that problem. The angel of the church has to make sure that he holds up the mirror and shows everybody, hey, you're creating a little clique. You're trying to get around those that you're comfortable with. Let me say this, it's not a prison. What do you mean by prison? Have you ever been in prison? Everybody says, no, not me. They have a tendency to what? Group together. Like tendencies, like faiths, like certain things. It's amazing to me. I've taught the Timothy guys this, or I hope I have. I said, you can learn a lot when you get the whole church together for a function. You start watching them, who they group around, who they talk to, who they gravitate to. It's amazing to me, some people with the most problems never find themselves getting around the people that can help them the most. He might be getting old, but he ain't missing much. So far, we have looked at the prelude of the letter, the praise of the letter, the problem of the letter, and the last time together we looked at the principles of the letter. Having addressed all those aspects of the letter, I want to move on to the last of the criteria that we have used to study each of these letters, and that is the promise of the letter. Let's see what we can find in these promises to aid us. You say God gave them some promises? Yeah, He gave them some problems they need to address. He gave them the principles, how to address them. And then He said, listen, if you'll address these principles to these problems, and I've already given you the praise, I've already preluded and given you the greeting, He says, I want to show you what you can... Isn't God... And we do it as parents, don't we? I watch some of y'all as parents sometimes, and I hear your little things. Now, listen, Jacob does it with his little quiet seat prize. Cody, do you ever remember a quiet seat prize when you were a young person in church? Here was... I did it to Avalyn yesterday. I reached over. I don't know where she was. Friday, and I grab that little muscle right there. And I grabbed it and I just squeezed it a little bit. She went, oh, Papa. And I said, when you talk to your daddy next time, ask him about that little muscle right there. I made sure when my kids were in church, I was within reach of that muscle. And I just reached over and I just squeezed that little muscle. And they'd look at me and they'd squirm and I'd go, if you can't be good here, it's going to be bad at home. What's your point, preacher? Listen, we want the praise. We want the principles. But sometimes we don't want the promises. Following the instructions lead to promises. I've watched them. I was good. I was quiet. I even questioned one this week. I preached chapel this week, and one of them that got the quiet seat prize, I said, well, who was the one doing the criteria for the prize? But I watched her, and I watched that young girl this week come in at one moment and change. Can you imagine if that child had, and that's the whole premise of VBS, isn't it? We've watched him in Michael's Help ministry. We're going to change that instead of Hannah's Hope. Michael's Help. Why do you have that ministry? It's to help the pastor. He's a basket case, man. And if you watched them in Hannah's Hope, they come in and you just watch them change. You watch them in VBS, they start out the first night this way, and by the third night, you wish the workers were the same. The workers start out high on a mountain on Wednesday, and then by Friday, they're ready for claws and choking each other down. Amen. Jacob's the only one that said amen. There's a promise. I've watched every one of you as parents give your little principles, give your little threats, and then reward with the promise. God does the same thing. It's the same concept. Let's look at them real quick. Let's see what we can find in these promises to aid ourselves. I'll share this verse so we can see the truths of this letter to this church can aid us as well and help us. 2 Corinthians, Paul writes 1 Corinthians. Then he gives us 2 Corinthians. He says this, starting the chapter out, chapter 1, verse 20. He says, for all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen. For what? Unto the glory of God by us. His promises are to us, and it gives Him glory when we follow them. When we follow the principles of His Word, it gives Him glory. And you know what it does? That they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Don't tell somebody you're a Christian and then don't obey any of the principles. I remember when I was a lost man, I would point to people and I'd say, that's why I don't go to church. I'm glad that God sent me somebody by that went to church, kept the principles, had struggles in his life, but he was transparent enough and honest enough and not a hypocrite enough that he wouldn't overlook them and he'd try and change. And I watched him transform in life. And so let's see these promises. In verse 21, he says, now he which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. God gives us the helper. It's amazing to me that he places within us the very means by which we can fulfill the principles, and still it seems like he should get the credit, not us. But here's the thing about it, we're still free will. We can obey them or we can't. So let's look at them real quick in this letter. God left them promises as well that can aid us. Let's find them and make the application for us today. Verses 26 through 29. We first see to this church in Thyatira in the letter that he wrote to them. He gives them promises if they'd obey the principles and they'd understand the problems that were taking place in the church. He gives a solution. I appreciate the Bible because the Bible gives solutions to our problems. We can't just throw up our hands and say, I don't know what to do. We ought to know what to do if we read the Bible. In my own personal life, and the Timothy guys, and if you're close to me, you'll understand this. When something happens to me as a pastor, as a person, as a parent, as a people in society, the first thing I do is I go to find a close enough example to that situation in Scripture, to my life, to see what happened, what transpired, and what they were supposed to do. Whether what happened if they followed them, and what happened if they didn't follow them. That's why I say, and I don't say it sarcastically, I don't say it mean. When somebody gets sideways and just says, you know, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, I always say, some way, somehow, I'm going to say to them, okay, fine. You can't force God on people. But I can say this to them, hey, I'm just curious. In 5 months, 5 weeks, or 5 years, could you just get back with me? Can you just check back in with me? If they're truly a child of God, there will be a discipline that takes place because Hebrews 12 tells us of that. Do you know how many I've had come back and say, man, I'm doing great. I knew I blew things up there. I knew I acted like a fool. But I just want to let you know, a church is a church is a church is a church. And I just found a place to serve God separate from there. No, that's not how it works. Show me how that works. It might look like it works, but I'm still waiting for the judgment seat of Christ on a lot of things. And that goes for me as well. So we see the promise of the letter. He says, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He was clear in his principles. He was clear in addressing the problems. But what we need to understand as well is he is clear in his promises. The promises are forever. He is not a respecter of persons. You do what it says to do, and you receive the promises that he offers to us. Here they are. One of the things that I appreciate so much with each of these letters so far is the order or aspects that he addresses in each one the same. It may be a different aspect lacking in each, but he approaches them all the same. Each church was different. Each church maybe had some problems that were unique to themselves, and all churches do, but there was always the principle of what he had to say that they should follow. He wants what will hurt them out and what will help them to be maintained. And when they did, and we do, we can have as well what was granted unto them. Let me say this, the Word of God is our guidance. It is our hope. It's not a time to get together, share recipes, and have a TED Talk. It's a time for us to open up the Word of God and see what thus saith the Lord, and the preacher be capable enough to stay in context and then be able to break it down in such a way that there's an application that can be made. Yes, it's an informational book, but can I say this as well? It is a transformational word. It ought to change us when we get into His presence. God will never ask of us something that He will not reward us accordingly. He leaves them three promises, and we can have them as well today. First, He promises them, verse 26, His power. And I wrote beside of it, the result of their obedience. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. I'm not going to deep dive into the historical connotations that are here, but we're living in those days as well. This world that we live, do you know why America has the problems that she has? And the immigration situation is what it is? Because when they see our country, they see this. They don't see him. And when they come here, they don't want what made this great. They want this. And that's why they will do everything they can to have it. Why leave the place that you had that was a mess to bring that here? And we see that personified in the Old Testament with Nehemiah in his day. And they come here. And the thing that makes America great, and the thing that makes your home great, and the things that help you the most is God, not gold, and it's not government. When we understand that, a constitution of the United States is not made for just a people, it's made for a religious people. And when you're not a religious people, you'll stand up in Congress and you'll sit in other places and you don't want a constitution. You will scream that it's a democracy, it's not, it's a republic. His power, it is a result of their obedience. The promises of God are just like any parental promise. It comes as a result of obedience. Jacob weekly talks about it. If not up here, he talks about it downstairs. The quiet prize. What is he trying to instill in these young people? To honor and reverence the house of God, and as well learn how to mesh, learn how to integrate with other people, and learn how to be quiet once in a while. It's obedience. The result of their obedience, he'll give us his power. And that promise that he gives is a direct result of their obedience. I learned this early on in the Christian journey. I watched those in church that would listen. I watched those that would apply the Word of God. And I watched those that seemingly were different. The difference is what convinced me. Douglas, I've noticed of him when he's got here, and I've said it to him personally so you don't think I'm just calling him out. I tell him, I watch him, you're very observant. For a 27-year-old man and the path that he's taken, he's observant. I appreciate that about him. He reads the room well. There's an honesty about him. I appreciate the fact that he can come around the preacher. When you don't ever want to get around me, you make me nervous. You know why? Because I feel like you're trying to hide something. Now I'm going to get everybody standing next to me and all this kind of stuff. When you consistently always find yourself around people that are not striving to be spiritual and you stay as far away from the pastor, there's one conclusion that I have to make. You don't want to grow in your spirituality. I've said this before as a pastor. I can tell when a family's getting ready to leave, the kids quit talking to me. You know what that means? They've had the pastor for lunch, dinner, and breakfast at the house. And they're trying to navigate how to get through that. Jacob rewards them, tells us of it. In their obedience, they will get a prize for it. I watched that as well coming up as a young Christian. As a student of the Bible, I see the same today and in here. I see who suffers that woman Jezebel and all her agenda, or the ones that completely reject it and never apply biblical truth. Can I say as nicely as possible as a pastor that loves you? You are rewarded in direct relation to your level of obedience. God rewards you in correct and equal proportion to how much you obey Him. You don't obey Him, there's no rewards. This is a God and a Father who is balanced. I've said it to my kids and my grandkids when something transpires after being told the path. It wasn't anyone else's fault, but your own. I remember the time when Tina lost her ear. She was like Kevin Costner in Waterworld. You could just see her ear come completely detached from the back of her head. And you love these illustrations, don't you? Cody almost sawed his leg off. My daughter almost tore her ear off the side of her head. So when I said she was running around the house one day. Just absolutely, we're missionaries, running around the house. And I said, listen, stop it. Stop running around like a banshee. You're going to hurt yourself. Next thing you know, I hear, top of her lungs, screaming, holding her ear, comes running into me. Here's the Father. I said, I told you so. Go stand in the corner. Is this right? They're in here. They can verify these stories. Super dad of the year. I said, go stand in the corner. She went and stood in the corner. Next thing you know, I hear, Daddy, what? My ear's bleeding. I said, come here. She comes back, blood running all down the side of her head, blood all in her hands. I go to look at her ear. When I go to grab her ear from behind, I can see right down into the ear canal. So I said, get in the shower. We'll rinse it off. Now, that's my daughter. We said, let's go to the emergency room for this one. Amen. Cody's still emotionally damaged over that. He still can't get over it, man. What's the point? She got what was coming to her. She did. Why? Because her dad understood if you keep doing that, it's not going to end well. Don't ever get to mad at the angel at the church or wherever that stands up and has enough God and gumption and love and grace that he'll stand up and tell you the truth. Because watch this, he doesn't want you to get hurt. He doesn't want you to spin out of control somewhere. And he definitely doesn't want you ensnared by that woman, Jezebel. There's too many churches that have been torn to pieces by people who suffer the agenda of Jezebel. I've said it to my kids. I've said it to my grandkids. When something transpires after being told the truth, it wasn't anyone else's fault but your own. No one twisted your arm. I'll say this. Many in Scripture in these times, arms were twisted. What do I mean by that? Thou holdest fast. Back up a couple churches. He said to him, thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you wherein Satan dwelleth. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. There's people today that think it's okay to just act a fool, forgetting the fact that there was people that didn't act a fool and were put on the stretcher blocks and all that kind of stuff and disemboweled and everything, and they never denied the faith. And yet somebody can get sideways in church and all of a sudden deny the faith and become church hurt. I can't figure it out to save my life. The same today is the same as then. You make the choices you want to make. You suffer the people and things you want to suffer. And then many times throw those under the bus that are obedient to all His commands and don't expect His power if you ain't willing to obey His principles. Can I tell you the most difficult thing for me as a pastor and what keeps me up late at night and breaks my heart some days? I can't figure out why heavenly truths from the hand of God are not willingly grasped in order to yield what He so desires in yours and my life. You are as spiritual as you want to be today. You are as close to God as you choose to be today. And as a pastor, it's evident by who you share things with and who you listen to. They receive the promise of power as a result of their obedience. Let me ask you this, we'll move on. Just how much power you have this evening may just be the result of how obedient you are. And I'm not saying that to you, I'm saying it to me. I want power in my life. I want to be able to, whatsoever things ye ask in my name, ye shall be granted, given, whatever it is. I want to be able to be a friend with God and sit there and say, Lord, this is things I need. This is not need or want or desire or whatever. Delight thyself in the Lord. The Bible says, He'll what? Delight thyself in the Lord and He'll give thee the desires of your heart. You don't get that being disobedient. We all should want His power. His power comes, the promise, as a result of their obedience. Number two. Next, we see the promise of not His power, we see the promise of His protection, verse 27. And I wrote this beside that. His protection, the recompense of their obeisance. Obeisance is just a big word. I had to alliterate. You know how I work. It means loyalty. It means respect. How much are we loyal to God? How much do we respect Him? When we do, there's a recompense to that. Just as Paul said to the Galatian church, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's recompense. You sow to the wind, guess what you get? You reap a whirlwind. You sow to God and His fruit and grace, guess what you do? You get blessings. You get protection. You get all those things that take place. We see His protection, verse 27. And He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. This is the Lord Jesus Christ talking. This is a direct correlation with Psalm 2. Let me read it, verse 1. He said, David said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder. And we know the story of Jezebel, what she tried to do with Elijah. Now we see this same concept taking place here. David says, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I, David says, set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. That's obeisance. That is putting Him in and treating Him with loyalty and respect and highly exalting Him. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Here it is. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry. Is that not obeisance? Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and ye perish from the way, When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Where do we have a chance to do that? During the worship service. It should be common practice when a song's sung and it speaks to our heart for us to lift up holy hands. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Or even make your way to the altar and thank God. Step out from the crowd and come forward and say, thank you, God. Was it not that woman that pressed through the press to touch the hem of his garment? Was it not Mary who came through and was ridiculed and mocked for her breaking her alabaster box? But it said of her that what she did today will be a memorial to her. And every time the gospel is preached, it should be recognized. I thought I had to mention her every time I preached when I first got saved, or first got called to preach as a young person, because of what Jesus said of her. We see his protection. Some days I watch Christians navigate this world we live in, and if I didn't have my own personal walk with the Lord, you'd think God was just an idol on the shelf somewhere. He never becomes a personal shield and a buckler to them. I've watched that on full display during COVID. I watched men that I highly respected during COVID bow to a government more fearful of what the government would do than fearful of the God that they say they served and would protect them. And even then, some days I questioned, if I didn't stand my ground during that, or I was just a member here, what would the consensus of the members of this church have been? I'm not concerned with the economical climate of our country right now because I follow God's principles. Here's the principles I've followed. Joseph's principles. If you'll save up in 7 years during the good years, then when the lean years come and you're a steward of what God has given you, you will make it through those tough days. I was still around when there was lines getting petrol and it went by your tag. And you had to only be able to get gas, petrol during the days that the end of your tag was on. Do you remember those days? And every year we've always got something we're panicking over, screaming over, and forsaking the house of God over. Are we serving the government or are we serving God? See the application of them that day? And let me say this, these churches were under far more difficulties and persecutions than anybody in the United States have ever been under. And yet they were more loyal to God. We see his power was a reward because of the result of their obedience. His protection, the recompense of their obeisance. I'm not concerned with the economical climate of our country. Why? Because I follow God's principles. David said, I was young once and now I'm old. I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed out begging for bread. I'm not concerned with the political climate of our day. Three Hebrew children left me an amazing testimony. And Scripture tells me the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever way he will. I've never been fearful and feel like I need to acquiesce to them. Nor did I feel the need to with the naysayers and the McDonald's crowd that was here at one time. David said, and still rings true today, Psalm 121:1. David said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. And he just put this clarifier on it just in case you get it confused with a small L. He said, this L is a big L. He said, my help cometh from the Lord, by the way, which made heaven and earth. He's talking about I just want to add that in there for you. He will not, what? He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. We sing these songs, I shall not be moved. And then somebody at work, somebody in the neighborhood, somebody in government does something, and you move like a cat, running right to it and are fearful of it. Yeah, we're going to have to do it. That's what they said we got to do. It's sad watching what takes place today. He said, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. God's power to them and to us is the recompense of our obeisance. You've heard the term mama bear. We ought to have that with God. We ought to provoke God in such a way that we're so much in obedience to Him and we worship Him so much that no matter the situation, He's right there. He's right there to take up for us. He's right there to protect us. I think sometimes we don't think He's capable of it, so then He just goes, all right. I remember when we went through the Luray Caverns, was it? And they get you down the Luray Caverns and then they turn the lights off to show you you cannot literally see your hand in front of your face. And I kept saying to my children, hey, don't get too far out ahead of us. Hey, don't get too far out ahead of us. Next thing you know, I won't tell you which one it was. He got too far out ahead of us. Next thing you know, they turned the lights off. Next thing you know, coming out of his mouth is what? Dad! And that all could have prevented by what? Just obeying. But what did Dad do? Dad comes to his protection. That's the God we have. Why is it that we're so fearful of things today? They were going through much more than we will ever go through. I say we need to go through some fire. It's going to show us how much we really love God. Number three, lastly, what was the promise that God gave to this church? He promised them His power, the result of their obedience. He promised them His protection, the recompense of their obeisance. And lastly, verse 28, He promised them His presence, the reward of their observance. And I will give Him the morning star. The morning star is mentioned here is Christ Himself. Revelation 22 and verse 16 tells us at the end of the book, it says, "And I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I'm the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star, and the Spirit in this." And I wrote this verse in here because here's what He genuinely needs and wants out of us. People need to see God's power. How are they going to see it? Through us. People need to see God's protection. Who are they going to see it from? Us. People need to see God's what? Presence. Who are they going to see? I'm amazed sometimes that some people that claim Christianity can get into a situation sometimes and absolutely panic. Just absolutely lose it and panic. And I sit there and I go, does not the Holy Spirit of God comfort us? Is He not a helper? Is He not a very present help in a time of need? How is it that we get so soon shaken, scared? You read the testimonies of some of the people in Fox's Book of Martyrs. You read the testimony of our history where people were looking down the barrel of a gun, yet they believed in God. You look at what was the man, Antipas, that I said was martyred and burnt at the stake, and listen to the words that come out of his mouth before he's burned at the stake. And most of us men that stubbed their little toe sound like a little girl crying. Can you imagine being tied to a stake and burnt with your feet frying before it ever got to your face and still be singing, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me"? We don't know that. We don't understand that. We need that in our society today. There are people across the world that suffer that. Go to Africa and see what they do to some places. Go to the Philippines. Go to Myanmar, if I'm even pronouncing that right, former Burma. Go there and see what they do. And here we are sometimes, we get a little cold, we stub our toe, something doesn't work out for us before we get to church, somebody said something mean to us at work, and all of a sudden it just gets us out of sorts. His presence. Those then that looked for His help were promised and rewarded from their observance. They were looking for Him. Too many today have quit looking for Him. And just became one of the many naysayers in church. And here's what Peter said. People will say, "And where is the promise of His coming?" They're mocking the church today. Where is the promise of His coming? Do you ever notice when they depict religious people, there's some goofy-looking person holding a sign, "The end is near"? They make the religious person in any movie this half-wit, this loony bin that's looking for and waiting for Christ to return and help them. Do you know how many people would mock the faces of believers in these people day and say, when is he coming? They did it to our Lord. Mocked him on the crucifixion and were saying, hey, if thou be king, if you're the king, why don't you get yourself down? But in his testimony, in that situation, the centurion Solomon said, surely this is the Son of God. Can they say that at your work? Can they say that at your home? He promised this church his presence, the reward of their observance. We're supposed to lift up our eyes and look to the hills. We're supposed to look above, for our redemption draweth nigh. The church, there is a world of people out there today that have deconstructed their faith, and I'm closing. They tear down what they once believed and claim to be church hurt. Can I say this? The church has never hurt me. I grew up on a bar stool sipping foam out of a beer bottles in the basement of the Kimmel Inn in Evans Mills, New York. I watched people in bar rooms treat people better than some people treat in church. But I'm going to tell you what, once God saved me and I got to church, ain't nobody in church ever hurt me to the point where I'm going to leave church. I said this not too long ago. It's amazing. They can get your order wrong at a restaurant. You still go back. They'll mess something up. They'll mess up your fries. They didn't put salt on them at McDonald's. I don't see you getting on Facebook or boycott. I ain't never going back to McDonald's. Somebody says something to you sideways, doesn't greet you the way you want to greet them, all of a sudden, the church hurt me. No, you hurt yourself because you wear your feelings on your shoulder. He's an ever-present help in a time of need. The church has never hurt me, but I can give you a list of Jezebels and Ahabs that have. And yet I followed the principles and promises of not only this letter, but the whole letter, and looked for His presence in my life. I'm not just telling stories and filling space in my preaching when I say an Arnell helps me. Junior helps me. I'm coming to church and you know where I'm looking? I know Jesus is not going to be here in the flesh. But I'm going to tell you where He is in His spirit in somebody. And standing in the shadows a lot of times on a bad day, somebody can make all the difference. And can I say this? It don't only happen in church. It should happen out there. And who should it be happening with? You and I. There's a person at your work. There's a person in your home. There's a person in your social circle that needs you to prove to them and demonstrate to them God's presence in your life. I'll tell you what, we all just got laid off. And then you get with the same crowd and says, yeah, them stinking bosses. I'll tell you what, they're, no, you just sit there. I remember I was in a union one time, before I was scripturally knowledgeable. I know that's going to ruffle somebody's feathers. And then I come across this verse, and be content with your wages. You know what I really needed to be more mad about? My handling of my finances, not how much my boss was giving me. Because if I handle my finances correctly, I'll be happy with what my boss gives me. Most people that are bothered by what their boss gives them foolishly throw their money to the wind and then expect everybody else to take care of it. And then I said, well, I'm turning in my union card. And then the battle began. And I said, my help coming from the Lord. It's not a union boss. See, we've missed the whole, we have, in our search for God, got attracted to the gold and thought that the gold doesn't come from God. I followed the principles and promises of not only this letter, but the whole letter, and looked for His presence in my life, and I still do today. I came today looking for God in the shadows. And I pray I will always look for who? The bright and morning star. I'll close with this question. Are you doing that today? Or have you fallen prey to this, to suffering the woman Jezebel and her crowd? We'll close with these words. Hymn 676. Mark started the testimony service with talking about a hymn. I'll close it out talking about a hymn. I believe God's going to remind us of these songs we sing. I believe God's going to, you know, we stand up and we say them with vigor. And then we completely miss the truth that's being told in them. 676. See if you remember this one. I have found a friend in Jesus. he's something to me. No, the songwriter said, he's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see. All I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow, he's my comfort. In trouble, he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. You got a care tonight? Then bring it to Jesus. He said, casting all your care upon him for what? He careth for you. Financial situation, family problems, difficulty at work. I don't know what it may be. Are you taking it to him and saying, I can't bear this. Would you please do this for me? He all my griefs has taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation, he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken. We sing this song. Can you believe it? I have all for him forsaken. Sing it on a Sunday morning. Don't see you till next Sunday morning. I'm not talking to anybody in particular. I'm just, you know the crowd. I have all for him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempt me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. There's an observance of the bright and morning star. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I, watch this now, it's conditional. While I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna, he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory, I'll see his blessed face. There's the bright morning star. Where rivers of delight shall ever roll. And then the chorus, you know it. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. To my soul. Having difficulties? Life getting to you? There's a lesson to be learned in these letters. He promises his power, his protection, and his presence. I'm not meeting here just to meet here and go through the motions. I'm meeting here because I have a faith in a God that will return, and he's going to set everything right in his time. And I, by faith, just have to trust in that. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not yet seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. For by it, we know that the world was formed by the Word of God. And I'm trusting in it tonight. I don't care what the pool at the White House looks like, or if the straits opened up or not. I have gained in the market, and Brother Mark, I have lost in the market. My faith and hope is not in the market, it's in him who ever liveth. Father, we'd ask you to help us tonight. Thank you for these truths in Scripture. Thank you that there's still places that we can hear the truths of the letters that you've provided. Lord, I don't know what eventually happened to Thyatira. I don't know of the church of Thyatira still running and have a wonderful choir today. Something must have transpired, and I pray it doesn't. Thank you for the power and the protection and your presence here for 100 years. There's been things that have tried to come at it, things that have tried to destroy it. But people, men, women, and children have said there's something here worth protecting. So help us to be obedient to you, Lord. Lord, please, we ask for your power here all the time. We ask for your presence here all the time. And we ask for your protection. Lead, guide, and direct us, I plead. I don't know who the situation is tonight or who it may be, but I pray, Lord, that these words have helped someone in here tonight as much as it's helped me. Speak to us during the invitation. Reassure us as we go out into this work world this week and the things that are taking place in our environment and our economy and everywhere else. Help us, I plead, Lord. Let us look for the bright and morning star. In Jesus' name I ask these things.